I think we need to think through how do we set ourselves up for success and how do we look strategically on what we can do to lessen that burden if college is the way that child is going, right?
We can talk about student loans. We can talk about the opportunities the students can get by applying early or starting early and what are the things that they can do to reduce their student loans, because that is one of the things that is, you know, very important, I think, for parents and students to know.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Mina on with us. And Miss Mina is a doctor of all the things, but really what she specializes in is going to be helping students particularly and helping them understand college, preparing for college, and all of those things. So we are super excited to have her on the show today. So welcome, Mina. Tell the guests a little bit about yourself, the listeners a little bit about yourself, and what you're excited about talking about today on the show.
Hey, Jax. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm a college prep coach. My website is collegeprepcoach.net. And I help students strategize to get the maximum for their potential into a good college, help them get good scholarships, help them prepare for college prep tests, anything to do with college. And their journey, most of them start in middle school, and then they, you know, once they are in college, they do consult me for college counseling as well, for course selection or even scholarships and things like that. So that's what I do for my living. Then today, I think we can, because it's graduation season, and I know you just came from one and I just went to one, we can talk about student loans. We can talk about the opportunities the students can get by applying early or starting early and what are the things that they can do to reduce their student loans, because that is one of the things that is, you know, very important, I think, for parents and students to know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So first of all, I don't disagree with you. So this is something that I'm super passionate about, is both education, because a lot of people will say, well, you say that, you know, don't drown yourself in student loan debt or don't go to college. No, that's not usually what I'm saying. Because I mean, I have a law degree, so obviously I, like you, believe heavily in education, but I also don't believe it becoming a financial albatross, right? Because yes. No matter how well-intentioned it is, if it basically is going to put you so far behind in life that it's going to be so hard to come back from, I don't think that that's a good plan, right? I mean, that's not what we're looking to do for ourselves or for our kids, right?
Yes.
We don't want that for anybody.
Yeah.
I think we need to think through how do we set ourselves up for success and how do we look strategically on what we can do to lessen that burden if college is the way that our child is going, right? Because I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that there are sometimes some really good alternatives for certain kids, and you got to kind of know your kiddo and kind of help direct them as that parent. But regardless, right? Like, it's so important to think through how the money piece works.
So it's very to the point that you made, that you need to know your kid, right? So we have so many times the students are not sure which major they want to do.
Right.
So what I suggest to such kids, a strategy is that why don't you start at your local community college? So this way you get done your first year, you wet your feet and you see what you really want to do, rather than going to a big university, you know, spending all the money and then realizing, okay, I don't want to do this. Maybe I'll shift to another one. So I have some students who have been going from one school to another within the same college, but you know, in the end, they are just wasting time and then money. And then you would not believe in Collin College, say we are in Texas, right? So in say a student spending 500 or 600 on one credit in Collin College would be paying around 5,000 for the same coursework in say UT. So things, I mean, the coursework and the credits have become so expensive. If you can do something outside, even you can start up as early as in high school. So say you do your dual credit course, or even you do some AP courses and see that they really align with the coursework of your major, then you can cut the cost to so many, I would say a few thousands.
Yep.
And then the other strategy is that you should look into which college you're going. So is it merit-based or is it financial need-based?
Right.
So all the Ivies are need-based. So they do not offer any merit. You might be the brilliant person because they are already taking cream of the cream. They cannot, you know, because these educational institutions are basically businesses. That's what I tell my parents. That's what you need to look at, that they are just like businesses. Why would they let go of even $1,000 if they can get it from you?
Yeah.
Right? No, so exactly. You have to look out for yourself. So yeah, that's a great point. You need to know your kid. You need to know the strategies. You can start as early as, you know, high school, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. So let me talk just for a second about why particularly I am more passionate than most about this topic. And for me, it's that on the mortgage side, we literally see where either parents or young adults who, you know, have now established themselves in the world with a career or whatever, and the debt that they have taken on, either the debt that they've taken on and or then the debt of their parents, it is really causing a lot of challenges and issues with qualifications. So they're struggling to be able to get the houses that they want, or I just see that, you know, maybe the parent is having to refinance and pull out a bunch of money because they feel desperate to be able to help that child and this and that and whatever. And it frustrates me that we as a society have convinced everybody that, hey, everybody has to go down the path of these 4-year crazy expensive institutions. And to your point, I mean, even myself, and I'm a very well-intentioned person, I changed majors 3 times. I wasn't exactly sure. I was mechanical engineering, and then I was business accounting, financial accounting, and then I was English creative writing. Like, wait, what? I mean, wildly different spectrums, right? And that was even with me having some understanding. And we preached very strongly to all three of my oldest that, hey, I need you to do whatever you want to do intentionally. And I talked to them and we talked through, like, does it make any sense for you to look at doing some kind of a trade school, right? Like, we still need, you know, plumbers, electricians, welders, like some of these jobs that I see, they make a very good amount of money. If that is the bent that your kid is pushing towards, right? Or even you, like if you're listening to this podcast and you think, I actually really like that kind of stuff. I like doing those things with my hands. Like, those are really amazing, great jobs, and they make a very fair bit of money, right? And we empowered all of our girls to make the decision themselves because we were not in a financial place to be able to help them in the way that we would like. And the funny part is they all took wildly different paths, right? On like the way that they chose to go about it. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. And I don't hold against you or any other kid who wants to try, because this is the time that you need to do it. But if you do it wisely, if you strategize, so to that point, I can say that one thing that, you know, parents can think about is to, you know, use the summertime, make sure that kids go to these camps and internships and make them work, go out in the world, because that's how you discover yourself, right? Say you're working in Starbucks, but you really don't feel like getting, you know, smelling the coffee all the time and, you know, being around with people, then you know, okay, you are not set up for a retail job or something that would set you up on this path. Maybe you want to be like my daughter. She was hung up on bioengineering because she used to love robotics. But somehow she went to this camp in UTD and she said, no, that's not for me. I cannot be doing that. I cannot be just tinkering. I want something, you know, sitting down and doing something. I said, okay. So that's how she went into data analysis and all that. So that is a great, I mean, you're setting up your child. If you send them out in the world, let them go to work, let them be in the real world scenario, because that's where they would be. And that's what they're looking for, the interviews. Like a lot of these kids who are graduating right now, I see majority of them, at least 35%, do not get a job. So either they get absorbed again in a post-grad school, or they are just still looking for a job because they don't have those real world skills or leadership qualities, or that is something that the interviewers are looking for. And it's become so competitive with AI and everything. Yeah. So that's very important. And yesterday, in fact, I attended this a little town hall, an event where they were commencing, or they were giving certificate of recognition to these kids who had graduated loan free, zero debt. And what these kids were, they were basically mathletes starting from this with the city's mayor mathlete program. And through their merit, they had accumulated so many scholarships because of their merit-based, they were given full rides. So that is another place to start with, I would say, if parents are listening to this, that, you know, you should know which universities are merit-based, which are need-based.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
So I don't know if you know this, but I actually am a mentor for a program called Foundation for Choice. And Foundation for Choice, what it does is they go specifically into Dallas ISD. So that's a kind of a lower income district.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the kids have to apply to be given a mentor. And then what we do is we walk them through a lot of the stages. So like, have they applied for schools? What schools have they applied for? Have they looked or whatever? And one of the things that I focus on a lot with my mentee was the cost, because she had, you know, quite a few ideas. And she was doing dual credit, like you suggested. She was already doing some high school stuff and then also getting some Dallas ISD, DCCD, so Dallas Community College District.
Yeah.
Credits from her school, because she was doing kind of dual. And so we were talking about her top schools. And I said, okay, we're going to do an exercise. We're going to every single one of their websites, and we're going to go look and see what the cost looks like, right? What is the tuition going to cost? What are they estimating your room and board is going to look like, right? Because, yeah, it sounds all good, fine and well to want to go to a school in California, New York, like some of these really high expensive areas as far as like cost of living, right?
To
go to school. But then you have to remind yourself that if you're not having a job or something to offset this, I mean, then that's an additional cost that you're coming up with. And I sort of laid it all out for her to show her, like, whatever decision you make, I don't really care, truthfully, because at the end of the day, I'm not paying that bill. You are. And it's the same thing that we tell our clients on the mortgage side when we advise them on mortgage. Ultimately, what the mortgage they pick doesn't necessarily directly affect my life, but it is my job. It's my fiduciary responsibility to lay out what everything looks like so that you can make well-informed decisions. And if we're not having conversations with our children, even if we're the ones footing the bill, right? So for some parents listening, they're like, well, I don't need to have these conversations with my children because I'm paying for it. But even if you're paying for it, you still have to have the chats with your kids about the stuff, because you have to teach them how to be responsible adults. And teaching them to be responsible adults includes, how do you be responsible even with somebody else's money, even if it's not yours?
So that's a very valid point that you brought up, because you would not believe the first year, the freshmen, undergrads, their parents would be calling me and they would be like, you know, my kid is spending too much money. He's partying too much. He's eating out all the time. He's already finished all his moolah, so to say. And I really don't know where to go. I want you to talk to him or her regarding their spending habits. And these kids, they say, I mean, the parents haven't taught us how to cook, or we don't know how to cook. So we have to eat out because we're missing the meals, because we have classes, we have this. Then from laundry to everything, right? It adds up. And eating out is not, it's not inexpensive right now. And everything, and then they are not able to find. So a lot of kids, especially in Texas A&M or all these competitive spaces, say even Indiana or New York or Michigan. So not all the kids get accommodated into dorms. So then parents are also looking for boarding outside of the campus. Then they also have to think about how would they, the transport to the university. And then from, if your kid is outside in an apartment, it's like setting them up their household. They need from, you know, one pan to a cup to everything that you need, right? Even if you're using disposables, I mean, you still have to come up with things. So it's a good strategy to talk to your child about everything. And it's very important that they know their, because everything adds up. So I have a past student who was seeing a girl. But now he really liked her, but because she had so much of student loan that she's still paying, though she's a nurse, that he left her. I mean, nowadays, all these Gen Zs, they are making decisions based on that also. So, I mean, that's affecting their life and future, right? Not right now, but that's what I'm saying, that it's really affecting their lives. So it's important that we look back. I mean, we start at the right point. So each college, I'm sure if parents are listening to this, each college has net price calculator on their website. And you can put in your, it exactly gives you how much will it cost to live in that city? How would you go around? Do they have public transport? And, you know, from everything, because kids would go out. They are just not going to stay on the campus.
No.
So,
no offense, but you wouldn't want your kid to do that anyway.
You want them to have a great life at the same time. Be responsible with money. That's all we're asking, right, as parents. So, so I think that's one place to start with, that they can look at, you know, the cost of the living and everything. And it's very important to talk to the kids that sometimes don't even get into the sticker price, right? I have seen, like Texas Tech or some private universities, which they have great merit scholarships. They have full rides, like Alabama, you have Hofstra. There's so many universities that they might, or even Tulane, they have amazing merit-based scholarships. So rather than going to a university where you are paying, and then even going to Ivies, it's mostly, I always tell my students that follow the money. That's the best way to go. If you're getting aid somewhere, you're getting full ride, say at UTD, I would rather go there, because it's what you do there matters, not where you go, right?
I was going to say, yeah, and I agree with you. I was going to tell a story. So we have a very good friend who has very smart daughters. And the oldest, she actually graduated. She was a National Hispanic Merit Scholar, right? And she really, 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 really badly wanted to go into A&M. And of course, that's actually my alma mater. And so I could definitely appreciate, because it's a really good school. But because of the competitiveness to get in there, she didn't, she got in, but she didn't get any scholarships. She didn't get any basically financial help, whatever. Whereas she had also applied to some other schools and she got a full ride to Kentucky. And she wanted to be an engineer because, again, very, very smart woman. And she ended up going, got full ride to Kentucky. Kentucky helped her land some pretty big internships. Like she got an internship with Toyota and then got an amazing job right out of college. So a lot of times I think we have taught our kids that the notoriety of the school is like the only aspect that matters. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't consider, you know, that, especially if there's no money involved, like as far as like scholarships or anything, right? Like you definitely want to take that into consideration, but you also need to really dig into, okay, you know, is there other, like, are we going to get into other schools that are going to give us full rides, right? Are we going to, you know, have, you know, some other options, et cetera? And I think it's super important because my mom was saying we're not raising children, we're raising adults. It's our job, right, to prepare them for the future. And if you didn't have that, that's unfortunate. So now it's your job to step up to the plate and learn how to be that responsible adult and how do we think all this through. But it's crazy to me how many people are like, oh, well, I don't want to go there. I just want to go to this school instead. And so they don't even really consider the financial aspect. Like you said, you should follow the money. It's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best strategy for a zero loan, you know, after undergrad, right? Completing undergrad. The other thing is I have seen most of the time the parents would not be filling out FAFSA till the end. Right? That's the free money federal aid that you get. So there are a few ways that, you know, you can get the aid or you can come up with the money that would be left out. So if you say you're earning $400,000 a year, but still your son or daughter can qualify for scholarships if they have good SAT score, good GPA. So right. Say if you have a GPA of 3.9, you have a an SAT score for 1520. And then if you have an ACT score of say 34 or even 33, you're looking at least 40,000 in 4 years or more. That's why I always recommend that, you know, pay attention to all these SAT, ACT preps. That's another way to do it. Secondly, there are many scholarships that go untapped. There are a few websites that I always recommend to my clients to go up and look up. And even if you can simply use Google, you know, search, say scholarships, extended web. So if you do a Google search, like right now, if you do it, extended deadline for scholarships for undergrad. And you can type in the stream that say finance or engineering or STEM, you would see your page would be full of those. And those are the ones that are untapped, apply to those. So I have this student, her mom is a single mother bringing up two kids. And though the mom is a principal and she works with TEA and all that, but they were still short of some money after the need base, right? So what we did, we applied for 20 scholarships where she just had to write essays.
Right.
And you would not believe we got that gap of 20,000 filled up. And she got 50,000 out of it. So 30,000, she still managed to save. And when she graduated, zero loan, she still had money in her bank. Her mom was, you know, debt free. She was debt free. So those are the ways to, you know, to look at things, you know, think out of the box, I would say. There's so many ways to do it. Then on your Common App, they have a program called Work Study Program. You can even qualify for that. Yep. You have a choice of, you know, doing that. So you work, you get your real life skills, you get money, you get paid. There's so many jobs. And I would say if you're working, if you're in undergrad, you're looking for money, some extra money, even if you are all covered, I would just still go and work on the student office or apply there.
Yeah.
There's no harm. I mean, there's so many Starbucks and the cafeterias are full of, they're always looking for kids.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to, you know, earn money, get the skills and, you know, get popular also. You get to meet so many friends, right? That's what my daughter did.
No,
she was always out there doing something.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
It's so crazy to me because, and this is the thing that I need. So Mina obviously helps you figure out how you get there, right? How do you find this money or whatever? But what I definitely want to stress to people is when you don't find that money, when you just say, it's no big deal. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go ahead and take out loans or pull out money or whatever the case may be, right? Whether you're the parent who that's what you want to do or you are letting the student do it. What you have to understand is the concept of how interest and all that kind of stuff works. And so when you take out those loans, there are quite a few of them that are what's called subsidized. Subsidized does mean that while they're actually in school, they're not accruing interest. And then oftentimes there's a part of the loan that's called unsubsidized. Unsubsidized means that they're not charging you at that moment in time, like you're not making a payment on it, but it is tacking onto the back end of the loan, right? So the loan is actually growing in size. And the reason that this matters so much is that most people do not understand or realize how long debt can really hold and stay out for. Yeah. And for those of you like me and I were talking ahead of time, you know, I have a law degree. So I actually took bankruptcy law in law school. And so a lot of people believe like, oh, well, if, you know, worse comes to worse and I really, you know, life really gets rough and tough, then I can just file bankruptcy and wipe it out. But that is not the case. So when it comes to student loan debt, it's not that you can't wipe it out with bankruptcy, but the stipulations are so particular. Like I talked to a bankruptcy attorney and this is literally what he told me. He said there was a couple where they had been paying their student loan, everything like that. Husband was a helicopter pilot. He actually got like his arm or his leg or something damaged or chopped off. Like it was like a really
amputated,
horrible situation for them. And so obviously now he can't be a helicopter pilot because he needs his limbs to be able to do the safety things and whatever the heck else. And so they end up having to file bankruptcy and they went and one of their larger debts was a student with student loans. And they ask, you know, because of this extreme hardship to have those discharged. And the judge said, no, they would not. And so you'll be 10 times more likely to get medical debt discharged than to get student loans discharged. And so this is a debt that is going to stay with you for an extreme amount of time, right? And it's super, super, super important because of course, everybody's like, well, you know, they might forgive them because that's, of course, been a big conversation around. Here's the thing, guys, and this is regardless of your political leaning, whether you believe that people yes. should forgive the student loans or not, that's irrelevant. You agreed to pay the debt. And so if they forgive loans, great, they forgive loans. But if they yeah. don't, you're going to be stuck with that, you or your child, for an extremely long period of time.
Yes.
And so we need to really be diligent to think about it. And it's why I basically had conversations with my girls, because we were very honest with them. We were like, look, we unfortunately are not in a position that we can help you with this aspect, whatever. We did fight very, very hard to get my husband. He's a veteran. And by the way, if you happen to be a veteran in the state of Texas, like you served like out of Texas, there is a specific act. And Mina, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, called the Hazelwood Act.
Yeah.
It actually does help your students. So make sure that you look into that if you are a veteran, if you have served our country, right? It's really important. But we fought really hard to get him to 100% disability, because he has a lot of disabilities from his time in, because it helped the girls. But I also yeah. had conversations with them in high school, like, are we doing dual credit? Because one of them was very convinced that AP courses are the way to go. And I don't know how you feel about this, Mina, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Maybe you don't feel this way, but I'm going to speak to this for a second, because let me tell you, it royally pissed me off. So one of the counselors at my girl's schools convinced one of my daughters that she should only do AP courses, that she shouldn't do dual credit, that the reason she shouldn't do dual credit is because the GPA of that dual credit could possibly negatively affect her for school, okay? And I told her, I said, look, just so we're clear, I care about more about your future than this counselor does at your school. She didn't want to hear me. That's fine, right? And yeah. I was empowering her to make decisions on her own. She listened to the counselor, and she chose to do AP courses. And the reason that I wanted her not to do AP is she's not the particular best test taker. She gets very bad test anxiety. And so she's a really intelligent woman, but she gets really bad anxiety. And as I was explaining to her, dual credit, they can't take that away from you. When you pass that course, baby,
yeah. like,
that's it. You got the credit. You take AP. If you don't score high enough on that AP score, then you may or may not, right, be able to get credit for that, right, at schools. And certain schools have different requirements. Like, I know when I went to OU, so I started out at OU, and I took calculus AB, and I took the AP exam, and I think I made a 3. And so OU accepted that for credit. Okay. But had I started A&M, they would not.
No.
They would not accept anything but a 4 or a 5
yeah.
to let it roll in as a credit. And so a lot of times, like, we have to be educating our kids like that too, because there's a lot of dollars they could be saving, because paying the small amount when they're in high school to, like, do those dual credits. But most people don't know this, y'all. Just so we're clear, the school that they're going to, the high school they're going to, they get money from this kid actually being in class.
Yes,
and
yes.
so if they're going to dual credit, they're losing out on a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So the counselors actually are incentivized to tell the kids
yes.
AP credit is better than dual credit. And I'm sorry, but I call BS on that.
So so to that point, I would say that there are ways to do it, right? So there's another way to do it. You can go out of school. It's called CLEP. You CLEP out of it.
Yep, I did a lot of CLEP.
Yeah, so CLEP also, because you're just paying $200, you're studying by yourself independently, you're finishing those credits. So I have I have a few students who come to me, they want to graduate early, right? So say English 2 can be done, world history, all these kind of credits, you can just CLEP out of them. And yep. then, you know, you reduce your credit, you reduce your time, you reduce your, you know, any kind of, the other thing is for the APs, so not necessarily all APs would be considered or would be included in your course plan for your college, right? In your freshman
right.
year, because sometimes the college counselors, because they also want the money, their business houses, they would say, oh, this doesn't align with our coursework. This is not what we need. You would have to do it again. And you're paying $5,000 for it rather than just $75, $150 that you enroll your kid in. So yep. the smart way that I always ask my students to do the due diligence, look at the coursework, because all these colleges have their coursework out. They have numbers to it, assigned to it. look against that, the AP that you are taking, would it really help you in the major that you're looking at? So again, coming back to if you know what you're doing.
Sure.
So if you really don't know, then I would say start an year in Carleton College or somewhere that you're getting money, and then maybe you can transfer. And transferring is not that difficult.
Right.
The other thing is, if say you get into a, you, so is it your alarm or mine?
Yeah, it's fine.
So that is something that like we can, they can clap out of it. They can look at the APs, and not all APs are equal. That is, yeah. So dual credit, because that they cannot take that associate degree from you, right? You
Correct.
Will be given credit for that. And universities don't like it. And schools don't like it because they do not get paid because the kid was not in the class. So they always scare you out, but it's nothing to be scared of. It's just an adult world. You have to just start adulting before. So
I was going to say, it just cracks me up. Like, and this is something. So again, I told my girls, because here's the deal. Even when I was going to school, and that was a long while ago, I didn't really feel like the advisors were advising well. And so I sort of learned to figure out, like, for instance, when I did go to school and I went to college, I made sure that I took the hardest credit that would transfer across multiple places. And what I mean by that is a lot of times when you go into school, you don't know exactly what you want to do. Or maybe you think you do, and then you start going down a path and you're like, never mind, what was I thinking? This is a horrible decision. I hate this major. I don't want to do it anymore, right? That was kind of what happened with me with mechanical engineering. Like, I actually do like some of those aspects, but I hated the coursework. I hated that it didn't intersect with people. Like, that just wasn't my bent. And so what I learned is that every time I took a course, I took the higher level. So like I took calculus for engineers, even though technically when I became a business student, I could have taken it for
a lower
business,
one.
Right. Yeah. I could have taken calculus for business because I knew that the higher course would transfer no matter what degree I got. Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know, like I said, people have just really you have to think it through, and there's a lot of ways you can kind of work the system and do things. And I will tell you that now they want you to be in school for 4 to 5 years. I changed majors 3 times and I graduated in 3.5 years. So it is possible for you to do that, even when they're going to tell you no. One of my other daughters, she had basically almost a full year of courses under her belt before she started going to college. And they tried to tell her she was going to need a whole nother year of coursework. And she went and fought them and was like, no, this is ridiculous. And magically, the university figured out how to get her graduated in time. It's a miracle, right? And so a lot of times, I think people often believe that they have to accept the first answer or thing as what it is, right? And it's not true. And so I encourage people to not be afraid to push back, to not be afraid to look for non-traditional measures. Two of my girls actually did what you said. They got their associate's degrees first. And then one of them recently went back to school. And the other one is the one who just graduated this last weekend. And she actually took some time in between. She worked and whatever, right? She needed to kind of figure out like what that needed to look like. The other thing that I will tell you as parents who are listening to this, right? You guys need to think through pushing your kid to do what you want versus what they're best suited for. Because yes, as parents, I get it. Like, I'll never forget when my girls were telling me that being a professional YouTuber could actually make you real money. And I was like, that is not a real job, right? I mean, even though that's not true now, but like in my brain, I was like, that is not a real job. And playing video games for a living is not a real job. Now, mind you, you do have to set your kids up for success and have conversations with them about, you know, whether some of their aspirations are realistic and like give them some of the real world tangibility or whatever, right? But on the same token, if they're hell bent to go one particular direction, you trying to force them into some other box is just going to make them spend a lot of time and money and energy to do something that they're probably never going to get a real job or degree or anything of anyway.
Yeah. And And to that, I would say that, you know, start financial literacy earlier with the kids so they can make those sound decisions and you don't have to, you know, talk to them about it. They would be the one. If they are the stakeholders, and then they would be 100% invested in it. So even credit score, right? So a student of mine, again, a parent reached out because he was in TAMS. So TAMS is almost like going to a college. It's a Texas Academy for Math and Sciences, UNT. So all these 11th and 12th graders are put in a real, like, as if they're going to college. And these are all like 15 or 16. So right. This student, the parent reached out that he is just eating outside, hanging out, going to movies and, just having good time, of course. And then they had given him a credit card and he had not paid. All the money was out. And of course, parents were taking care. But the parents wanted me to talk to the kid about the credit score and how does a credit card work. And that was the reason that they had given this kid the credit card.
Right.
It was theirs, but,
Yeah, they're trying to teach him about money and credit and all the things. Yeah,
yes. So he was not even aware. He said, why do we need to pay it? It's my parents and I don't think they need to pay it. I said, no, somebody has to pay it. If you're not paying it, your parents would. And then we really had to talk about, the credit score. How does it affect? I mean, you're borrowing your future, everything. I mean, you're in mortgage space. You know how credit score is important, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all those things need to be taught. And even things like, budgeting, how do you, spending habits, how can you tweak little things and, save. Like even making a meal at home rather than just eating out all the time because you're spending most of the time outside. Like my daughter started cooking in her undergrad. She said, otherwise we are just spending time outside, it's just a waste of time.
Oh yeah.
And the money. Yeah.
Well, when my girls were in high school, they had three rotating weekly chores. And so each week they would have one of these three tasks and one of them was feeding the dogs. So if that was your task for the week, you had to feed the dogs all week. One of them was taking out the trash. And so you would have to take out the trash for that particular week, get everything sent out. And then the last one was preparing a meal. Now they didn't have to cook every meal all week. That wasn't the deal. But one meal out of that week, they were required to figure out what they wanted to cook, make a list of what needed to be purchased at the grocery store, and then to cook it. Now, I helped with all of it.
Yes.
But the deal was is that we were teaching how to do life skills. Now, out of the three, only one of the three really enjoy cooking. Like, that's something that she really enjoys. But I know push comes to shove. If they're in a situation where maybe money is a little tighter, they know that they don't have to eat out. They actually do know how to cook, how to survive, how to handle that. And that for me was a big aspect because I needed them to be able to be fully functioning adults. And I think as parents, a lot of times we want so much for our kids and we want them to succeed and all the things and we want them to have a great life. But we don't realize that even though some of these things like cooking or budgeting or thinking about money or how to plan for the future, we don't think of them as like fun, but they are super necessary, super important. And not only that, but they tie heavily to our self-esteem. And we need these things to be able to be successful members of society and feel really good about the decisions that we're making. And so if we're not really doing that piece as parents, like in my opinion, we're setting up our children for failure and we're not doing our part. We're not doing our due diligence. So I can't stress enough that in this whole conversation around, student loans and around money and setting your children up for success and for college and all the things, like, don't feel like a bad guy because you're making them do something that isn't necessarily super fun, right? Yeah. Maybe cooking is your favorite thing. Maybe you absolutely hate it, but it is a necessity of life that you have to be able to provide food for yourself, right? And sometimes with the financial aspects, like eating out is just not always feasible. right? Yes. And we want them to be able to understand how to do it. So, you know, there's so many different aspects of this. And Mina, you know, you and I could probably talk about this for about the next 20 years over here. And I'm sure we'll have to do another episode because, like, again, such helpful tools. I mean, for those people who are in that season, they're going through it, right? They're trying to help prepare their kids for college or high school or all the things. They're trying to get them right there. I mean, a lot of these suggestions from you have been gold, right? They're so amazing to really help start framing your mind and framing up those conversations. And we can't be afraid to have these conversations with our kiddos, right?
Like they're very necessary. Yes.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, we're not doing a service without it.
I think the counselors and advisors, I would say, just have to be candid with parents, right? And even with students, just to, without any hidden agenda, just give them the tools because information is very important. And that's what I do with my clients. I always give the right information, the proper, everything that they need to know. And then I would say 95% of them, they come back to me because they said, you were the only one who told us this. Right. Nobody else is telling all these things that you were telling us. Yeah. So that's very important. And if you save money for a family, I'm looking at a life that's going to thrive. You know, that's how I live. I mean, that's what I believe in. That all these kids that they come to us, you have to do good by them because it's one person. If they live happily, I mean, imagine the blessing that you're giving them, you know, to be debt-free and to advise prop. I think that's a fiduciary duty that all the counselors, advisors should do, right?
Right. Yeah. The unfortunate part is that isn't that way for everybody. And so make sure that you are informing yourself and not just, you know, I mean, if you're red flags, bells and whistles are going off inside you, right? Like do a little bit of more digging. I mean,
yes.
You live in an information world where it's all right there at your fingertips, right? I mean, that's part of the reason I started doing the podcast in the first place is I got really annoyed and pissed off that I didn't feel like people were really helping or giving great advice to people or explaining things. And I'm like, look, ultimately it's your call. Right. If you want to take on all the debt for your kid, if you want to put all the debt on them, if you don't want to have to apply for scholarships or whatever, because that's just not what you want to do, that's absolutely your decision. Right. Like you can make that call. Just do it from a place of knowing like how it's potentially going to affect you, like right from the mortgage side, from how it will affect you on all the life decisions you're able to make after that point. If you're good with that, it's your life and you need to live it on your terms and how you want that to look. So I know, Mina, that you have an offer, I think, for our listeners. So share that and we'll wrap this up.
Yeah. So on our website, you can book a time, a consultation with me on prepcoach.net. And I would love to chat with you, know what the needs are and how can I help reduce that bill and come up with scholarship plan, come up with a major plan, because there's some majors, there's more acceptance rate and merit scholarships for that. So, I mean, there are different universities and for each family and each student, there's different program there that can be curated for your child and I can definitely help them. So, and I do have a webinar coming on 25th of May. It's 7 to 8 p.m. And it's there on our website. You can sign up, how to stand out in college applications and get those merit scholarships and different aspects of application in the college, to the college.
That's awesome. So, and I'm sure you'll probably have a replay or something of that. Hopefully listed somewhere.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified helped you if you're in this phase of life and trying to figure it out, or maybe even if it's coming up, but we're not quite all the way there yet. So hopefully this episode was helpful and we'll see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.